Brings us to 12, which is reports. Subset A is citizens' request to be on the agenda. We'll invite you guys up here to... We did receive emails for sure, and I see there's additional information here.
Yep.
I'm Brenda Vosnitz, and I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity this evening to revisit our request. The residents on Jackson and 6th Street are requesting that Hope Street be permanently reopened prior to the construction project of 6th and Jackson Street. At this point, we need assurance that we will have access to our homes. All we are asking is that grading takes place on Hope Street to ensure that we can drive on it without damaging our vehicles. The outlet on 6th Street slash the alley behind the Jackson Street residence has no longer exists. There is no outlet. It's now a dead end, just as Jackson Street in front of our homes has no outlet as well. Previously, Dwight Griffey proposed a solution of a gate access for the Hope Street use for situations when we have no access to and from our homes, and also that he could access his property as well. He presented this as a solution at the previous meeting only because of the resistance of opening it up and maintaining it. We want to keep it a dedicated public street, as it is a public dedicated street, and it needs to resume being so. We do not need an expensive cul-de-sac, as staff has discussed previously and recommended. All we are asking is that it be graded annually and snow removal, just like any other street in town, so that we have a safe road to drive on that won't damage our vehicles. So please listen to the residents onto what we need for a safe road that we can use to get to our homes. Also, at the May 20th council meeting, we were given a chance to speak to you about the Creekside subdivision project. We all felt like the result of that meeting, we would have been contacted by city staff to meet with us on site to explain the construction project process and timeline of completing 6th Street and Jackson Street. And that still hasn't happened yet. Will we be given that opportunity? And I did have a little dialogue with Daniel versus voice messages Friday. And I do understand that it's anticipated to start in July on the 8th. And tentative that they will notify us. But we still have concerns about how it will tie into the driveways that are going to be directly impacted by it, just as well as, I mean, there just really hasn't been good communication, and it would just really be nice to know what we can expect and how it will impact us. The other part, too, I think Dwight had a question on, because he brought this up at the last meeting, was right on, when you turn onto 7th Street, the storm sewer pothole thing, yeah, would that be tied into this project as well?
The storm, the manhole lid that's sunk in there, that's something that occurred when the streets were originally paved, that unfortunately they're at separate elevations. So that would require a larger project to actually fix that. That is something we're looking at, but that's not going to be part of the paving project. I mean, that's something that has to be looked at separately and done. We are aware of it, and we're trying to make changes, but that's not something that's going to be done next week. And tentatively, it is for the week of July 8th, not necessarily on July 8th. When we actually know the date of when the paving is going to be, we've said before, and we will do it, that we will be contacting the residents 2 days before as well as the day before. So people will have contact twice before the actual project begins. And we believe it'll be July 8th, but we also don't want to tell you, or we believe it'll be the week of July 8th, but we don't want to tell you it will be, you know, July 10th until we actually know when the day is going to be. Because this is coordinating between two different contractors, and until we get their firm dates, we don't want to tell you a false date.
Would we have the opportunity to meet with the staff to have an understanding of what will all take place?
Sure.
prior to that. And then in regards to opening up Hope Street, I mean, it's just getting it to a place where we can access it, use it.
Hope Street, the topography of that, as well as the width of that, makes it very challenging that we would ever be able to actually make that into a street, which is why it's essentially been abandoned for quite some time. If we did, there would have to be additional drainage that would be cut into that, which would make it impossible for Mr. Griffey to be able to access his side yard if we made those improvements. The other thing is, we don't really believe when we're looking at it that we're going to be able to get it in a condition that, honestly, vehicles would be able to use that other than maybe four-wheel drive type vehicles. And that's why years ago it was closed, because that probably is not going to be a very safe condition. We're not sure how we would be able to, honestly and frankly, be able to fix that, which is why the solution of having a cul-de-sac there eventually so that trucks actually can safely turn around, because even if Hope Street somehow were improved slightly, you would not be able to have trucks actually be able to use that Hope Street to be able to go through that subdivision.
I believe our point is the safety aspect of being locked into our property without an access. And up until that decision was made to not continue to maintain it, it was sufficient. It met the needs of the residents that live up there to provide them a safe way in and out.
Except we had several vehicles that were caught there quite often. And so it was not a safe way, and we were not able to maintain it in really a safe manner. And so that's why the decision was to close that street. It would create Jackson into becoming a cul-de-sac, which cul-de-sacs only have one way in and out, but there's also a lot of cul-de-sacs throughout the community, and that would be a change, but it's really the only safe way to do it. We don't see how we could honestly make Hope Street a safe way, especially knowing how the adjacent property owners use that. Whatever we do there, if we tried to make it into a safe street, it would make it impossible for Mr. Griffey to be able to use that for his trailer, as well as the other landowner I know has some concerns about the improvements we would make to it.
So what would the cost or the expense difference be from giving us a safe access road versus the cul-de-sac? Has anybody looked into that?
We have not done a cost estimate yet for creating a cul-de-sac, but that is possible. We don't know how, looking at Hope Street, we could truly make that into a safe access.
So will there be a guarantee that we will be able to come and go from our homes once this project starts?
When you mean the when the street. Actual paving occurs?
Yes, correct.
Liz, can you come up with a map that shows how?
Okay, so the rough part of the construction is over, because the rough part was because we had to dig the water line, which is this line, and the storm sewer, and they had to be deep. And so you have to open a hole, and you can't just immediately fill it back up and stuff. So in July 8th or so, whenever they get started, what they'll start doing is they'll start grading. And so at that point, they'll be putting down some base course. There'll be 15, 20 minutes, they'll put a dump truck down and you won't be able to get through because there'll be some gravel on the ground and they'll need to smooth it out. But for the most part, it shouldn't be more than 20 minutes that you have to wait. And then they'll start doing things like they'll be starting to put the curb down one side. You should be able to go around them on the other side. And, you know, it might take a little bit of time, but, I mean, it's like any other construction site. It should, you know, you just have to be a little bit patient and, you know, maybe allow a little bit more extra time. And they should be, working down on 6th Street at one point, and then there's just a patch on Jackson because they need to tear out the asphalt that was bad and regrade that where it's kind of, it's not as smooth as it should be. And then so they should do that. And then when they asphalt it, they'll asphalt it half at a time. And so they'll put down a lift. They'll have to wait till it gets, you know, a little where you can drive on it, and then they'll shift, and then they'll do the other side. And so really, I know it's concerning because construction's always concerning, but really, you guys have gone through the rough bit already, and the next part, it'll be inconvenient, but not near as bad as it was before. You know, with the cold and the, you know, 6 foot deep holes, it was really awkward and inconvenient for you guys. I mean, that was not good, but
yeah, what was concerning, it was when you went to leave your home and you couldn't, and there was no way in or out and no communication on a solution, I guess, was our concerns the day that this all happened. And I guess for Tim, who's more impacted by it than the residents on Jackson Street, he's totally landlocked through this whole process. How long will he, being where he resides, as you know,
right? Probably the biggest impact for Tim will be when they pour his driveway. Other than that, he should be able to kind of get in and out without too much trouble. But we'll have the contractor contact him, and because we have to pour the apron portion of the driveway, and that's the most awkward part of it. The rest of it, it won't be convenient, but it should be able to get around it. Would ask for patience. I mean, it's not, and the guys will be working, and, you know, they might not be able to, you know, pull their equipment out right away so that you can get through, but you should be able to get through. Well, okay, so maybe this way. Light. Okay, so the project impacts 6th Street the most because the asphalt ends right there, and it's paving down just past Tim's driveway. And so that's where the asphalt will end, and there might be a little bit of stretch that someone else might be doing. But this stretch, they'll be pouring curb and gutter, and they'll be doing base course. And then there's just a little bit here on Jackson where they're going to have to pour a little bit of curb and gutter and do the proper grading, and then replace the asphalt that was alligatoring. Hope is over here. So this is Jackson, and this is where, if we did put a cul-de-sac, that's where it would go. And this is the alley, and these are where the houses are. And yeah, the map doesn't have just a different angle, but it's a more recent map.
So, Liz, are you saying that for the most part they'll be able to get in and out of there,
yeah,
but it might be slightly inconvenient? They might have to wait 5 or 10 minutes at a time.
Well, yeah,
or 15,
you know, 15 minutes at the, hopefully at the most. I mean, you know, it's construction, so everything doesn't go completely well. But I mean, you know, if they put down fresh gravel, it's just you can't drive over it right away. Right. Otherwise, you just kind of, you won't be able to get much traction through it. But I mean, for the most part, they should be able to get through. They've really, really gone through the roughest part, which was the deep holes.
So we're not in a situation where they'd be unable to get out for a day or two. That's just not how it's going to work.
Correct. Your understanding is correct.
Sure, then. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Is there any way we could just, I know we talked about this hole at the end of Jackson and 7th there, but, and I know you guys said it's in a future project. Is there any way we could somehow fill that hole temporarily somehow? You know, I mean, last year I did probably about $1,500 damage to my camper when it, because it falls in there. Now, the other day, luckily I had iron. I ripped a jack off the back of it the other day. Just, I don't know how to get the only way in and out of the street. You know, but you fall in that hole and it just kind of, Like I said, this time I was able, didn't really cost me a lot. I had iron to use, and I was able to fix it without any cost, really. But
Rick, I'm going to pass it over to you to see, is there a more expeditious way we can try to resolve that, or...
Probably the only thing we could do temporarily. I mean, we could maybe put some gravel in it, but then you're going to complain that the gravel's... I mean, I can't cover it up because if you guys would plug your sewer, I got to be able to get into it and unplug it. So it ain't, it's not like we can put asphalt in there, I mean, temporarily. But we are planning to dig it out and actually put a concrete pan across there. It's just a matter of the weather cooperating and getting the time to do it. I mean, that's what we feel will be the permanent solution. We could grade that out so that it's not as severe, but till the weather cooperates and we get a chance to do it, like I said, pray gravels. I mean, the first rain we get, it's going to wash out. Going to come out, but we have talked about, and I guess we could do that. You know, we could put some yellow paint on that, and I don't think that guy, the guy, no, usually it, there's a guy no, parked there.
It's new owners now.
So you can take it, take the turn wide and make it. Before I know, that kind of shoved you down into that, and we talked about the possibility of painting that curb, but it's just kind of one of those things. I guess we got a kind of a permanent solution. We just got to get the time.
Maybe I could go up around 6th or something and back around. I don't know. I just hate to keep tearing things up. So
I hate to, like I said, do anything too permanent on that sewer manhole if we ever needed to get into it. We'd have a heck of a time.
Anything from us anymore? Or?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.